something that he didn't mean. Well, when then it was, well, then how come I don't see it? Well, that's where we're going. And hopefully you will be open to what the Spirit is saying and the Word of God says, that you can examine yourself. Because I don't point to anybody. I was talking to somebody this morning before service about the healing grace of God, and I said, I've got a thing on my side that sticks out like this. And I said, the reason it's there is because I had a kidney taken out up there with cancer on it. And I often think to myself, it bothers me that I allowed that without first prayer and fasting and seeking the Lord. Amen. And I said, is that the result of what I didn't stand and I didn't listen? Now, hear me. I'm not against doctors. I'm not against you going to doctors. I'm not against you allowing doctors to do what they do. And praise God, I think they're a gift from God. You understand that? But I think there's a better way. There's God's way. Amen. And that's all I'm bringing to you, is an alternative to going to the doctor. Amen. And we're talking this morning, and he said, this Dan I was talking to, I'll just leave it at that. And he said, well, if they go to the doctors and get a pill, and he was talking about what Kenneth Copeland said, and you go to the doctor and get a pill, and the doctor says, take one of these every morning, and you take it and rub it on your body. You say, well, I took the pill, but you didn't do what it said to do. Amen. And that's what happens a lot of times. We get this thing here, 1 Peter 2:24, where it says, by his stripes you were healed. And that's all we get. And so we say that, and when it doesn't come to pass, we go, well, it must not be God's will to heal me. Yeah. It was so much his will, he sent his son to die on the cross and take your sickness and diseases in that cross. That's how much he wanted you to be healed. All right? So we recognize that. And I'm not talking about just physical healing. There's spiritual, where people are being, their hearts are turning cold and they're no longer on fire for God the way they were. There's people whose minds are so messed up. And I'm talking about in the church, that they're on drugs to try to keep their minds, you know, at peace somewhat. That's not the way of God. And I'm not going to compromise his word to make somebody feel comfortable. I do not consider sickness a part of God's children's life. It is not something because, well, we live in this world, you know, and everything's sick and dying. Yeah, but I'm not of this world. Amen. Amen? My body is in this world, but it does not dictate to me who I am. I speak to my body, tell it what it must do and obey me according to the word of God. Amen. Amen. If I can speak to a storm, I can speak to disease in my body. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me show you something. Go into Exodus 15:26. We'll start there. I've been saturating myself in scriptures of healing, saturating myself and listening to messages on healing. I'm saturating myself. I'm hearing this stuff and I'm jumping and I'm screaming. I'm getting so much I could spend days, weeks, hours, months, years, all that stuff just preaching on healing, because there's so much that God has shown through his word, what he has done and is doing, and he's going to do. Amen? He's going to do. There's, oh, praise God, hallelujah. I got to do this, I'm just going to do it as I'm led now. Exodus 15:26. Question is, does God want you to be healed? Yes. That not everybody said yes, so that must mean that not everybody believes it's true. Does God want you to be healed?
Yes.
Everybody agrees. Who doesn't agree that God wants you healed? Anybody? I'll give you the pulpit. No, God wants each and every individual in this place to be healed. Amen? I want you to see that. I want you to know that. If that is mine, Why don't I have it? That's what I want to ask. Did somebody come into my house and steal from me something? I want to know who took it, where it went. If somebody took my health, I want to know who took it. And how do I get it back? How do I get it back? Right? That's what I want to know. Somebody stole something from you. If your health is not where it should be, somebody stole something from you. It's a thief. There's a thief in the land stealing people's health. Jesus said, I came to give them life. That life is also health, is part of life. Sickness is part of death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. I'm not part of sin and death anymore. I'm part of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So I have the same Spirit in me that raised Christ from the dead. It dwells in this mortal body, and it says it will actually bring life to it. Amen? Oh, go ahead, Holy Spirit. Start fixing the broken pieces. I give you the right. I speak life over every cell of my body. I speak life over every bone in my body. I speak life to every artery in my body. And I command and ask for the Holy Spirit to flow through my body now and bring the Word of God and start fixing that which is broken. Oh, glory. Come on. Let me show you. It's 15:26. Be bold. Be bold. Amen? Be bold towards the devil and sickness and disease. Be humble before God. Amen. Amen? Yeah. Be humble before God. And if somebody comes up and starts telling you otherwise, say, no. Thank you. I know what my God said. Amen. Well, you know, I know what God said. Amen? Very careful. Very careful. Jesus was wise. How many know that? How many know Jesus didn't hang around negative people? His own family, he didn't even hang around. They didn't believe in him. So when they came and told him, hey, your family's outside, your mother, your brother, and your sister, he said, oh, no. That's not my family, because they don't trust me. They don't believe in me. My family is those who do the will of my Heavenly Father. Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace between brothers and sisters and fathers and sons and daughters and mothers. I came to bring a sword. Amen? When God starts working in your life and you start seeing the flow of the Spirit and the Word of God start changing your life from sickness to life, all of a sudden people want to know what's going on in your life. You know, what doctor did you go to? Dr. Jesus. He healed me, he'll heal you. That's his promise to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God had many, many names the nation of Israel gave to God. Jehovah. And I can't pronounce it. Yohavah or something to that effect. Let's call him Jehovah. That's what we call him. One of the names was came out of this scripture in 15:26, Exodus 15:26. He said he's Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord our God that healeth us. Why would he allow that to be said and put in the scriptures if it wasn't true? Amen? Look what he said here. And he said, verse 26, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God. We're still dealing with healing on Wednesdays, but we're coming to a place we're going to spend some time learning to hear the voice of God. Amen. Really. I'm a stickler for hearing the voice of God. I want to hear his voice. Amen. This morning, I started into studying this and looking at it. And there's a really great place we're going into, and I'm sitting there, and one part of the process of hearing His voice is to get yourself in a position where you can see yourself with Him. You know what I'm saying? I don't want a telephone call. I don't want a text message. That's what this is. I want to hear His voice speak to me. I want to sit here. And so here's what I got a picture of. I'm sitting next to the Sea of Galilee. I was walking with the Lord. And all of a sudden we came to an outcropping of rocks. And He went up there and He sat down and He leaned back against a rock. And He took a blade of grass and He put it in His mouth and He was chewing on the blade of grass. And I sat there at His feet. And I started talking to Him and asking Him questions. The one question I asked was, "How do you see me, Lord? How do you see me?" And He started telling me, so I started writing things down. I threw it away. It was for me. But when you get to that place and you actually can sit there with Him and you say, "Lord, why aren't I seeing the fullness of Your promise of my healing?" And you keep quiet because you asked the question. Now you don't keep your mouth running. You just sit there. He might sit there for a while, chew on the blade of grass, and lean back and look at the clouds and the sun and the clouds passing over as He meditates and waiting on the Father to speak to Him. It may take a while, but He'll tell you. He will speak to you. He will speak to you. I promise you 100%. Not if, maybe, hopefully. If you will spend time with Him, He will talk to you. He wants to have a conversation with Him more than you want with Him. He wants with you. Let's get it right. Listen to His voice. That's what He says here. Listen to Him. What else did He say? "If you diligently hear the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight," glory to God, you know what's right. What's the Word tell you to do? Go into Mark 4. Speak to those things. Speak to that mountain. Speak to that sickness. Speak to that disease. Speak to that unbelieving heart. You will obey the Lord and the Word of God. You will do as He instructs you to do. Now maybe in that time of conversation with Him, and maybe that time He'll tell you to get up and do something. Just go up and tell somebody, "By the stripes of Jesus Christ, I was healed." Go tell somebody. Whatever He tells you to do, just do it. Often He would tell the people, "Pick up your bed and go your way. Get up and go tell the priest that you're healed." He'll instruct you what to do. Just do what He tells you to do. Don't let it become something major. It might be the simplest thing, like He told Haman, "Go wash in the river 7 times. "Well, that seems stupid. Why would I go do that?" Just do what He tells you to do. You don't know what He's going to say. But He will speak. He will speak. Go on. All right. "Do what is right in His sight. Give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes." You know, don't steal, don't lie, forgive, walk in love. I mean, these are simple things. These aren't the major things. These are things we should be doing anyways. Listen, He went on to say, "And I will put none of the diseases on you." Remember what I said last week? I said, He's not putting diseases on you. He wouldn't send His Son to die on the cross and take upon Himself all your sicknesses and all your diseases. And God, what did God say? "Well, I'm going to get them sick down there so you got something to do when you get there?" No. The Bible says in Acts 10, He said He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. Jesus only did what he saw his Father doing. His Father was showing him, go heal all. Not some. No. Not one deserves healing and the other doesn't. Remember, when Jesus was on this earth healing all, they were all sinners. They weren't saved. He hadn't gone to the cross yet. God will heal a sinner as quick as you heal a believer. But sometimes it's easier to get the sinner healed than the believer. Because the believer gets caught up into their circumstance, condition. They know what he says, but it hasn't happened to me yet. For myself personally, let me put it that way. I remember when we were young in the Lord. And you know the story, some of you might not know it. And I had a bad back from birth. I had a birth defect. And every once in a while, my back would go out and I end up on the floor for 3 days at least, right? I couldn't move. I had such extreme pain. It was amazing. I just couldn't move. I couldn't do anything. Well, at that time, we had Christopher. And Christopher couldn't do anything for himself. Diane was starting to get into pain because she's carrying this little sack of potatoes around. Well, that's what it was like. You know it. And you were crying because you were in such pain. I was in pain, and he needed 24-hour care. And so one day I said to the Lord, you got to do something. And I was desperate. You either got to heal him or you got to heal me. One of us got to get healed here. Well, it wasn't long after that in a dream. In a dream. You know, God can heal in many different ways. Don't ever put him on one, this is the way it's got to be done. But in a dream, an angel came to me. And I was standing there, and what do you want from God? So I told her. I told her. I say her because it looked like a beautiful young girl. But I know there's no male or female in the angels. They're just angels, and they're beautiful. And I told her three things I wanted. And they were personal things for myself. But I didn't mention anything about healing Christopher or healing me. And I thought that afterwards, I thought, that was weird. The one thing I was crying out for, the only thing I wanted. At that time, I didn't even care if I got healed. I wanted him healed. But if not, I'll at least me to help out here. Stood in front of me, and I can't explain how they did it, how the angel did it, but put an arm here and an arm here and asked me, and as I was talking, I woke up the next morning totally healed. I haven't had pain since. Every once in a while, that little thing will come, and I said, no, in the name of Jesus, I was healed. You got to go. I didn't make a big deal out of it, but I refused to give in to it. I don't give in to those things because I know where it comes from. And so I just went on. And I've been healed ever since. Now, well, don't look for angels to come to you to heal you. If God does it that way, fine. I wasn't looking for it. If God does that way, you don't know how God's going to do it. Diane was in a car accident. Her back was out of whack for 2 years. Prayed for her over and over and over. Every time we go to service, get prayer for her. She went to a woman's conference and some woman from down south came up, walked through, prayed for her, walked by her, turned around, came back and said, God told me to pray for you again. Prayed for her again. She went under the Spirit, totally healed. Praise God. I don't care how he does it. Amen? But there are different ways that he heals, and we'll talk about those too. But I know he heals. So here I come with cancer of the kidney. Do you think I went to the Lord about it? No, the doctor said, hey, we'll take the kidney out, you'll be fine. Okay, go ahead. You would have thought I spent a few minutes praying and asked the Lord. Well, I have a reminder right here all the time that I didn't do it. That wasn't his fault. Just the way it is. But my prayer is now. I'm asking God to forgive me and give me back the kidney. Amen? I sat there when they were taking all the stuff out of me and the tubes out of me, and this doctor was sitting there, and she was telling me, well, you know, you'll be all right. You got this going on. Yeah, yeah. I said, well, don't worry about it. God's going to give me a new kidney. And she just looked at me and went, yeah, okay. I said, watch. One of these days I'll be back. I'll show you my kidney. It's going to be there. Amen? Hallelujah. So what did he say? That word, when he said put, he did not. He said, I will not permit, is the exact translation. I will not permit any of these diseases to come upon you that came on Egypt. When you go into Deuteronomy 28, and you read all the way to the end of it, it talks about Jesus, or the Spirit of God said to the prophet, through God, he said, listen, all these diseases I put on, and any other to come along that hadn't been there, that's part of the curse of the law. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. So sickness did not come from God. It came because there's a curse on the land. There's a curse in this worldly system. Part of that curse is sickness and disease. But you're not under that curse. Amen? Listen, if I can come to your door, knock on the door and sell you a magazine that you don't want, and I can convince you you need this magazine. You gotta have it. You gotta have it. I'm telling you, it'll change your life. And you finally give in to me. Bad, bad, bad decision. That's what the devil does. He comes knocking on your door. I got a disease for you. You gotta have it. No, I don't. You gotta have it. What do people do immediately? All of a sudden, they start getting a sniffle. Uh-oh, I think a cold's coming on me. Uh-oh, I think I got the flu. Uh-oh. Yeah. And they just invite them in. Yeah, okay, I'll take it. You offered it, I'll take it. It's free. Amen? That's what happens to us. We do those things. We don't think about it. But every word is so critical to you and your life. Every word, every knowledge that you lack is considered a detriment to you. Amen? All right. So God says, I'm not going to permit this to come on you. That means God says, I'm going to let you live in perfect health. That's what happened to Job. Job was living in perfect health. Satan got mad, can't get near him. Because he did exactly as God instructed him to do. Praise God. Satan got mad, went up to God, said, hey, I can't get near him. God said, that's right. I got a hedge of protection about him. Don't open that hedge up. Keep the hedge strong. Praise God. Go with me into Matthew 15. Listen to this. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. No, wait a minute. Keep your hands there if you want. Or go back to let's go back to Isaiah 53. Hallelujah. Prophetic word about the coming Jesus, coming Lord. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? I'm in verse 1. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. When we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. For all these people who make statues of Jesus and make him look so pretty, that's not what he looked like. Amen. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Forgive us, Lord. Look at verse 4. He has borne our griefs. That translation is sickness. He has borne our sicknesses. Amen. And carried our sorrows. That is translated into pains. He took our sicknesses. He took our pains. He was bruised for our iniquities. And chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we were healed. This is not just words. This is truth. This is fact. It's not an assumption. It's not a message from somebody who's taking it and taking it out of context. He did it. 2,000 years ago at the cross, he did exactly what this prophecy spoke. He took all your sicknesses and all your pains. If you're carrying any of them, you're not supposed to. What did he say? Turn all your cares over to him, for he cares for you. If Jesus said, I will take you and carry your sicknesses, and I will carry your pains, why would you do it and continue to do it? Amen? Why would we continue to do it? Here's our normal response. Well, it must not be his time to heal me. You're too late. He did it 2,000 years ago. Amen? Amen? If he ain't going to do it in the first 2,000, he probably won't do it in the last 2,000. But he did. Amen. Immediately. So what do I need to do? Change the way I think. Amen. I've been thinking all wrong. I thought this was my cross to carry. I thought this was my burden to carry. No. Jesus carried it. Amen? Hallelujah. When Jesus came on the scene, nobody understood this. They all saw that if you sinned, you were a bad person and God was punishing you. Religious people today, oh, there's no hope. Sorry, we'll just get you ready to go to heaven. No. I don't mind going to heaven, but I don't want to go sick and diseased. Amen. I want to go healthy, yes. Wealthy, and wise. Amen. Amen? I'm not going poor and decrepit and broken. I'm going healthy, wealthy, and wise. He became poor that I might become rich. So why should I ask for poor? And I'm not talking about just money. I can be rich in every aspect of my life. Every part of it. Poor man. Now if he gave me all of that, and then some, why would he withhold my health? Go with me now in Matthew 15. Would Daniel, let me ask you to bring me up juice and a piece of bread. Please. I want to show you something here. Verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her, not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now Jesus said, listen, you're not part of us. I'm not going to deal with you because I wasn't sent to deal with you. I was sent to deal with Israel. God's plan was to get Israel in the right position so he could send them all out and be ministers of the gospel. That was his plan. He wanted them all to go out and start ministering to us. Jesus was sent to the household of Israel, then Israel was supposed to go out. But they didn't go out. Not all of them. Paul went. Back up now. So he's sitting there, and the woman's asking for help for healing for her daughter, deliverance for her daughter. Jesus said, no, you're not part of our group. Seems kind of harsh, doesn't it? But it isn't, because God used this portion to teach us something here. Let's go on what he says. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. It's not good to take the children's bread. What he was saying is that it's our bread, good health. Good health is our bread. Do you understand what he's saying? You see it? The bread. What's bread? Bread is nourishment, right? In other words, how often do we eat bread? Well, they ate every day. Every meal. Part of the meal was bread. In that process of understanding that, the disciples, the believers, started seeing what Jesus was trying to explain was, every time you partake of this bread, remember, it's your portion, your health. Every morning I do this. Thank you. Every morning, I before I start my prayers, before I do anything, I get the bread. I'll go out and get a little piece of bread off the bread. It looks like mice are eating at my bread inside the loaf. Just go out and take a little piece out. And I sit down and I said, Father, just as Jesus did, I bless this bread as a symbol of the body of the Lamb. It is my bread, Father, that I have been made whole. It's my bread, Father, that by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Jesus took all my sicknesses. And if there's any sickness in me, I tell him. Anything that's in me, Father, that's hidden that I don't know. Any sickness, any disease that might be hidden in me, I give it over to him right now. I thank you, Father, now in Jesus' name as you renew. And you give me back all that which I have lost. I believe, Father, that I have been restored. I've got all my teeth. I've got a new kidney. I've got a new heart. I thank you, Lord, you're restoring everything the enemy tried to steal from me. Everything, Father God, that might have been sickened or diseased, I receive it now, Father, in Jesus' name. And I receive it now. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. And he blessed it and he broke it. And he said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Father, I receive now the healed portion that's mine. I give to Jesus right now all the brokenness, all the parts that are missing, all the sicknesses, I give to him right now. In Jesus' name, I receive it. I thank you, Lord, that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me of all unrighteousness. Father, if I have sinned in any way, offended you in any way, or anyone else, I ask for forgiveness. And I confess the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me right now of all unrighteousness. I thank you, Lord, right now. My sins are all forgiven. In Jesus' name, I receive it now. Every morning I do that. Oh, what's the sense in doing that? Because health is my bread. I partake of that bread every day. Oh, is there something magical in there? No. But his word is magic. His word is supernatural. And as you start speaking his word, it starts taking root deep within my heart and starts producing life where there's been death. Returns which I have lost, he starts bringing back to me. Every day. Your health is the bread that Jesus gives to you through his broken body. And you start seriously, you start understanding. We do it every 2 weeks here. You should do it every day. Every day, confess the word of God over your body. Every day. So I started asking the Lord, okay, Lord, and I got so many notes, I haven't even touched them yet, but there was a gentleman named John G. Lake. Everybody know him? He had a healing ministry back in the late 1900s. In Seattle, Washington, was it, I think? Tacoma, Washington. He set up healing rooms. He began his ministry really in Africa and was over there, but he ended up there and he set up healing rooms. Over 100,000 people have documented healings came through his healing rooms. I've got some of the principles that he stood on and he used that I'm going to share with you another time. I won't get to it today. When he was in South Africa, he was there from 1908 to 1913. There was an outbreak of cholera. Bubonic plague. Deadly. Anybody got it was dead. There was no hope for them. And he was ministering to these people. And the missionary system he came out of was sending doctors and medicine over there because he was asking for help. They came over, and they couldn't understand why he hadn't gotten sick yet. Because he had been ministering to all these people with bubonic plague. So he said, I'm going to show you why. He said, I want you to take some of that plague off that deceased person. Put it under the microscope. What do you see? Still alive. He said, yes. Now take that same plague and put it in my hand. Now put that under the microscope. And as they watched, the bubonic plague started dying in his hand. Child of God, disease can come on you, but it can't affect you. Now, I don't say go out and take some kind of disease and put in your hand unless God was trying to instruct somebody or showed you or wanted to do something. Unless the Holy Spirit tells you to do it, don't do it. Don't be silly. But the proof is that it's not going to affect. Jesus would lay hands on the lepers and never get sick. Why can that be? He's no different. He's Jesus. No, he was just a man. He walked this earth just like you did. You have the Spirit of God in you, just like him. He walked as a living word. But the word also can be alive in you. Can do the same thing. God created you for better things, more powerful. Glory to God. The bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, is your healer. If you take him every day, you're going to see the results. Every day. Hallelujah. Okay, Lord. He started telling me to do something and I went off. But let me share some of these things with you before we go on. These were John G. Lake's principles for being healed. And I want to say something else to you is this. I hope and pray that when the fullness of the manifestation and the completeness of it, which I'll say it this way, healing takes sometimes time. The natural, you know, the way God works, the Word of God starts taking root in our lives and it starts producing. I was talking to Diane the other day, and she was sitting there, and she was able to put her feet up on the chair and her knees bent, and she was able to put her. She said, "I haven't been able to do that." I said, "It's beginning. See, you get to see a little bit of what's coming. Now, what I want you to do is get a picture of the finished work of it. I want you to see the whole thing. Where? Up here? No, down here. In your heart. I want you to see the fullness of what's already happened. It's already done. Amen? And once we get the Word in us, and once we start operating by the Spirit, we start walking in the Spirit, the flesh no longer has dominion over us. Now, all of a sudden, we're dictating to the flesh. And as your Spirit starts walking out God's promise, the flesh has to follow. Amen? When you have your soul and your spirit in agreement, the flesh has to follow. Where two or more agree on any one thing, in Jesus' name, it'll come to pass. Right now, a lot of us have our soul and our flesh in agreement. How do I know that? Because all you do is focus on the sickness. Your words reveal sickness. Your actions dictate that you're sick. But when your spirit has the Word of God, which is the bread that you're eating, and you have the Spirit of God working together, your flesh will follow. Every time. Not sometimes, every time. The key is to start before the sickness can take root in you. You understand? So what we're talking about is preventive medicine, not only being healed, but preventing anything from getting a foothold in you. That's why Jesus walked this earth and never got sick, no matter what he did. He said to Satan, "You have no part in me. I never opened a door for you to get in." So as you begin the process, not only are you dealing with the existing, but you're also dealing with any possible future. Amen? It's like anything else. When you build your house, you insulate it. Most times a house gets built in the summertime, but they insulate it for the wintertime. What we're doing is we're insulating for the, because we know it's going to come at you. Don't think, you know, just like I said earlier in the beginning, I said, don't just think that because he knows he lost, and he knows he's losing because he hears your voice, he sees your actions, he knows you've grabbed a hold of this and he's about to get kicked out into the pigs. He knows that's coming. But he doesn't just give up. He'll wait for another moment. He'll wait for another time. You let your guard down. You stopped your position. And the position I'm talking about is being in Christ. And you go back into being in the world again. Hallelujah. Where did I say where we're going? Oh, the principles. Let me give you some. Now, there's a whole bunch of them here, but I just because this man saw over 100,000 documented healings. The city that he was working out at, Tacoma, was voted the most healthiest city at the time that he operated there in the United States. Huh? The hospitals were being emptied out. Yeah, it was an amazing time. Listen what he says here. God's will is for us to expect to receive divine healing every time. We are commanded to heal all the sick. We do not need a special leading or unction. Every believer is already an heir of all the authority he needs to minister healing. And that's what I wanted to get to was, I don't want you just healed. I want you to go lay hands on others. I want you to be a minister of the gospel, not just in word, but in power. And there's a lot of hurting, sick people out there. when they find out there's a God who heals today, trust me, they'll flock to you. All right. God's desire is to heal all of our diseases just as he forgives all our sins. Jesus never asked Father God to heal anyone. He commanded healing and deliverance. Jesus healed thousands at a time without requiring them to repent or believe first. Great faith is not necessary or the key to receiving divine healing from disease. All you need is a faith the grain of a mustard seed. Those things are so small you can barely see them. The disciples did not intercede for healing. They commanded spirits of infirmity to leave. Our traditions about healing have hindered us from demonstrating the power of God. Unconfessed sins may make people sick, but they do not keep them from being healed. Boy, it blows some out, doesn't it? Kids go, oh, wait a minute, what? Jesus healed them all, regardless of their level of faith, if they wanted to be healed. Jesus never tried to find the root cause of illness or the sin that opened the door. Jesus was never prevented from healing due to the sin of their ancestors. Jesus taught the disciples to command spirits of infirmity to leave rather than to intercede. We command the healing power of God with impartiality, and it flows every time. We are not to judge who is confessed up in faith and ready to be healed. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is given so that we will minister in the power of God. We are commanded to lay hands on the sick and pray a prayer of faith or authority. The commandment to heal the sick is sufficient without a rhema word for each person. Healing sometimes takes time to manifest, while miracles are usually instant. Healing for every illness has already been provided in our salvation by the cross of Christ. The only requirement for a person to receive healing is to want to be healed. God is an equal opportunity healer and is never the cause of a delay of healing. God will reveal any specific keys to divine healing readily, usually as soon as we ask. In other words, he's saying, when you start praying for someone, listen to what the Spirit is saying. I have found myself jumped so many times ahead of God praying for somebody. God didn't tell me what to pray. I'll tell you, the Bible calls about the gift of discerning of spirits. As you pray for someone who's sick, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will bring revelation to you. What you're dealing with, spirit of infirmity. You're dealing with whatever it is, whatever it is. Amen? And as you do it, speak to it. Amen? God never causes illness to teach us a lesson. It is never his will for us to be sick. God is willing to minister healing and creative miracles through any believer. We are to command the power of God without picking and choosing who is worthy. We have authority to cast out even the devils that people think they want to keep. We can receive gifts by the laying on of hands and impartation from other believers. New Testament believers initiated divine healing and deliverance at will, and the anointing flowed. Signs and wonders follow our belief verse. We wait for a new command every time. Excuse me. As believers, we cannot increase our healing anointing except by exercising it. Believers already have 100% of the Holy Spirit, that we will ever have. Christ is in me, is always instantly available to destroy the works of the devil through me. And I'm not going to go on with the rest, but there's more here. If you want to see them, I'm more than willing to give them to you to look at, and we'll pass them around if you'd like. So the principles, in other words, what we're trying to deal with is those things that keep us from believing, and we make up reasons why we're not healed, or we make up reasons why they're not healed. I have done that so many times, and I have gone to God and said, Father, forgive me. I didn't know why. Amen? I didn't know why. I thought I did, but I don't. There are times when I know that I know, and like Praise God. I've told people before, when you come up here, and there's a drawing of the Holy Spirit, there's a drawing of the virtue of God, the power of God. I can feel it being drawn out of me, but I also can feel it when nobody's drawn. And I can tell that. It's just something that you get used to. Jesus got it. And it's not because of me. It's not because it's for all of us. Amen. It's available to all of us. It's not just because of me, but I am sensitive to that, and I can tell that, and I know that my prayers aren't going anywhere because they're not receiving what God has. And that's not, I don't know, it doesn't, I want to go there. I really don't want to go there, because I try to tell people. We were listening to Kenneth Hagin the other day, and some of you have heard me say it to you. I said, stop thinking. Please, just stop thinking. And what I should say is, get your focus on Jesus right now. Can you see him? And that's where you got to go. When you get your focus on Jesus and you get your... Some people come up and pray in tongues and all. No, no, no. Just be still and know that he's God. And then receive. Jesus is always there. God never says, wait till tomorrow to be healed. Your healing is that day. That's why the bread is for you every day. When he told him to get the manna from out in the fields, he said you got to pick it fresh every day. Your healing has to be fresh every day. Start your day that way. Start every day that way. You start doing it, it becomes natural to you, and all of a sudden, you start seeing the fullness of it. Praise God. Next week, I want to take you into his will to be to heal, more of that. But then I want to take you into the different types of the way God healed in the New Testament church, the different ways he's done it, and he's still doing today. I also want to take you in some examples what God has started showing me about dealing with specific things. And I won't say specifically, but dealing with, I'm not going to say specific, I'm going to say all things. Amen? All. So when it's done, you know, okay. And now, there is the healing process that we go through. There's a, you know, prayer of faith, it's an agreement, and all these different types of form of prayer. But I believe, and my goal is to walk in divine health. Amen. I prefer not to get sick than to get sick. I prefer my car runs good. And if I got to have preventive maintenance on it by getting the oil changed and making sure different things are done, better do that than wait till after it breaks down to get it fixed. It's a lot cheaper, a lot quicker, a lot easier. Amen. It's the same thing here. We're going to prevent the sickness. First, we kick it all out. Every disease, every sickness, every infirmity, every bondage. That's what Jesus did when about healing all. He hasn't changed. He said, I'm the Lord thy God. I change not. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he was doing then, he's doing today. He's just doing it differently. He's using us to do it. He hasn't changed. You don't have to fear that. He hasn't changed. Amen? Amen. So we're going to believe that, and then we're going to just learn to walk in perfect health. Then you're going to start teaching others, your families, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers. This is what God did for me. Now, if they don't do it, just say, praise God. God bless you. Love you. Pray for them. Ask God to open their eyes. Amen. Amen? Bind the spirit that blinds them. Bind the spirit that deafens their ears to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that's what you got. You got an antichrist spirit who is stopping what God is trying to bring to them. Not only does he want to bring them eternal life, he wants to bring them eternal health, beginning now. Amen? And to show them that they don't have to live in poverty. They can actually experience what it means to be a child of the King. Amen? You're a child of the King. Hallelujah. Amen? All right, praise God. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, right now. We praise you. We give you glory. Father, as we prepare to take communion this morning, we're reminded, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, that our healing is our bread. We eat of it every day. We partake of it every day. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, I pray that the word spoken today would have an impartation into the hearts and the souls of your children. Your word, Father, will not come back void what you send it forth to accomplish. And you said you sent your word and healed them. We thank you, Lord. We praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's children said, amen, amen. Okay, let's prepare to do communion. We'll take up our offering at the same time. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll do it afterwards, okay? Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.